as is fairly typical with the Sunday liturgy of the church, the first reading and the gospel quite often connect very closely. So the first reading from the last part of Isaiah today is referring to the suffering servant, and Jesus takes up that theme. He's just finished that prior to today's gospel about the suffering that he must endure. He then touches on it again in the conversation with James and John in relation to the cup and baptism. Now, with James and John, they've gone ahead a little bit of the other apostles, it seems, and then they've taken Jesus a little bit aside and have said to him, can we sit one at the right and one at the left in glory? Now, as it turns out, James and John are two of the three, with Peter, are the ones that experience the most intimate moments in Jesus' ministry. They are there for the transfiguration. They are there in Gethsemane as well. And when Jesus says, can you drink the cup? It is really the Eucharist that we are sharing. And the cup is standing for the challenges that come ahead. But it, for us in the Christian context, takes us straight through to Eucharist. And then he refers directly to baptism as well, which is the first of the three sacraments of initiation, baptism and then Eucharist and then confirmation. So Jesus, or Mark, is getting Jesus to, as it were, identify with following him as closely as you possibly can. And then the suffering element is that if you choose to follow me, then there will be challenges. And we know that. We all know that. And Jesus is just being very realistic. He also says to them that the places on my right and my left, they are given to those to whom God the Father will give them. And of course, there's also an allusion there, if you want to stretch it, to the right and the left when Jesus dies. There are two people at the right and the left on the crosses at Calvary. And one of those we know as the good thief, Didymus. So there's a bit of imagery happening in there. But the most important thing, I think, for us at this stage is to look at the conversations around serving. Look at the word service in our community these days, and we can, my mind goes sometimes very quickly to military service. So people who would give their life to and their talent to the defence of freedom and peace, so military service. We could look at things like those that work in the secret service. We don't really know what they do, but once again, it has a lot to do with justice and with freedom. We could look at things like legal service. If our topic is service, Jesus said he came to serve. So we look at, say, the legal services, people who give all of their education and their time and their talent to make the world a more just place and therefore a more freeing place, a place of freedom. We could look at education services in universities and schools. We could look at health services, particularly in these days of COVID, where we see so many people give up their time and their talent and all of that years of training to keep people alive and to keep our community healthy. Those three elements there alone that I just spoke of are hugely important in the Catholic Christian world: education and healthcare and social services, works of charity, from everything from St. Vincent de Paul to Catholic care to working with the homeless and the missions. So social services, education and healthcare, if we took those services out of our community, the ones that the Catholic Church offer as well as others, but if we took our Catholic services out of the community, the great fear is who would fill them? We are the biggest employer outside of the government, the Catholic Church is, particularly in those areas of health and education and welfare. So that's a service that the Church has in Australia and many other places of the world has really stepped up with and bought the talents of generous people to make the community a better place. That is what service is. Service is taking what gifts I have been given for the good of others. It takes away from the self to make me selfless. That's what service is. And Jesus says today, I came to serve, not to be served. And that's highlighted on Holy Thursday when he washes the feet, of course. I came to serve, not to be served. And then he says to his followers, you too, you who think you want to be great, you must learn to be the least. And take whatever gifts, whatever talents that you have, and bring them forward from yourself to make the life of others, particularly those on the fringes and those who suffer, to make their life better. We take from ourselves the gifts that God has given us, and we give it to others to improve the quality of life. When we look at the quality of life, many of us also look at, well, what is the meaning of our life? That's the big question. What's the meaning of life? Well, I would say, after examining from this gospel and what I'm talking about in terms of service, if you want to know what the meaning of your life is, then look at how you serve. If you want to look at the happiness that exists in your life or not, the key or the register of your happiness lies with the amount, the quality and the quantity of your service, of your giving of yourself to others. If you are a person that doesn't do that, you will find that your life will be on a plane that for the main part is relatively negative. If you are a person that can take your time and your talents and give something to improve the life and the quality of life for others around you, then you will find that your happiness level goes up. And underlying that is, the meaning of my life becomes open, it becomes discovered. The meaning of my life as a Christian is to give to others what I have received. I have received through the cup and through my baptism, my relationship with Jesus. My task in life is now to give that to others, to share it, to take off the self and make me selfless. That's what my service obligation is. And I think that's the case for all of us. And in doing so, we sleep much better at night, knowing that I am at least trying to take of self and give to others what I receive at this altar and in the sacraments. The Church, through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, defines the sacraments, our seven sacraments, puts them into three areas. The first area is what we call the sacraments of initiation: baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. That's the first three. So sacraments of initiation. The next two sacraments are known as the sacraments of healing. So the anointing of the sick and reconciliation, confession, penance. So we have initiation and then we have healing. The third area of the last two sacraments fall under, the Church puts them into the area of service. And they are marriage, matrimony, and the priesthood, the ordained. They are the sacraments where we give of self to the other. So in marriage, we understand marriage as the giving of one, so that the two become the giving of one each, so that the two become one. And by grace, by God's grace, there may be children that flow from that, which is the giving to the world. And so the community grows in grace from the giving, the self giving to the other in marriage. It's a very beautiful, beautiful understanding of the sacrament. The two become one. And of course, with the ordained ministry, holy orders, we give of our whole life to the whole community, to the people of faith, particularly through sharing the cup and through bringing people to Christ through baptism, through leading the sacramental life. Service. So I'll just say again, once we understand what our role in life is, the meaning of our life is to serve others with whatever abilities I might have, then we start to understand why Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. He's the only one that refers to himself as the Son of Man, and he does it 70 times in the Gospels of Mark, Matthew and Luke. 70 times. And if the best way to understand it is that Jesus comes from the Father and identifies himself with us as mankind. And he does that by two things: by the suffering, which we can all share in, and he does that by service. And he makes himself the servant of the servants of all. And he makes himself the supreme goal, if you like, of all of our suffering is drawn through his own suffering for our sake. It's a little more complicated, but he then ascends to the Father, and no one, we're told, can get to the Father unless they come through Jesus. So he, in his life, his young life, his 33 years, he identifies himself with us through his suffering, and we can identify his suffering in our life, and then we can identify service by following the example of his life. We don't look for exercise of power. This is the James and John stuff. We don't look for that at all. We look for the opportunity to exercise what I have been given, what little I have been given, or what greatness I have been given, so that we can give to the life of others. And therefore, that is Christ present among us. We become a sacrament, as it were, of Christ. We point to Jesus and we make Jesus present in our life. That's what a sacrament is, points to and makes real. And that's our role as servants. You might also remember that the motto for the Pope is the servant of the servants of God. So any of us in areas of leadership in the church and in the world, we need to remember why we are there and who we are there for. Not for any place of honour, left or right, but it is to bring others to the God who gave us those talents in the first place. We become, as it were, the sacrament of Christ.